Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Carolina Connections, the radio show where business leaders connect.
Hello and welcome back to Wireless Connections, our special edition of Carolina Business Radio. And I want to welcome first and foremost Jerry Hayes from the Wireless Research Center, which is the whole reason we get to do this show. Thank you, Jerry.
Hey, good morning, Ann.
Glad to have you back here.
Thanks. It's glad to be here.
Also back in the studio with me is my co-host, Cal Hackman. Hello, Cal.
Good morning.
Great to have you here today. And, of course, our producer, Reed.
Hello, Ann. How are you?
I'm great. Reed and I are sharing a mic today. We have a nice full studio today. And it's great to come back in the studio and work on this special edition of a four-part series that the Wireless Research Center has put together in conjunction with Verizon Wireless and their business sales team. I want to welcome back to the studio Mark Sharling. Hello, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Glad to have you here. And for the first time in the studio, Armin Asadi. Hello, Armin.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you.
Glad you could be here. Mark is an advanced solutions architect with the business sales team, and Armin is the business sales manager. And we are all going to talk today about the DNA of the Internet of Things. And so last week we got a really nice overview of this DNA concept and what the Internet of Things is and does. This week we're going to be addressing the issue of devices. So in the DNA, it's the device, the network, and the application service. And so we have in the studio today, and we're going to come back and talk to our guys from Verizon in just a second, but first I want to talk to Paul Moore. Paul Moore is joining us from Connected Development. He is the VP of Sales and Business Development there. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Anne. Good morning.
Good morning. Before we get too far into the discussion of the Internet of Things, tell us a little bit about what Connected Development is and what you guys do over there in Cary.
Sure. Connected Development is a design services firm. And as you say, we're located in the Triangle area down in Cary. We've been around since 2010. And our specialty is really around the wireless design services for embedded systems, Wi-Fi, cellular, GPS, those types of things, and the connectivity. We also have very specific engineering expertise for custom antenna design and development. We have a certification program where we can take our clients through the certification process to get the device on the network or approved through FCC or FDA or whatever the certification requirements are for that particular application or use case.
Can you give us just a quick overview maybe of one of your customers on how you might have worked with them?
Sure. Well, our customers really range from cover a pretty broad spectrum from entrepreneurs with a concept that maybe they want to just they've got an idea and that's it, and a blank sheet of paper, and they want to take that concept into a prototype. Maybe they want to get a next round of funding. Maybe they need to, you know, work on their business case, and we can certainly help in those aspects of it. And then some of our customers have already a finished product on the market, and they want to take that product and enable it with connectivity and have it start communicating with other machines and transferring information, exchanging information, that type of thing. So that's really the profile of our customer. It really does cover a broad range. Now, some of the types of product, you know, we work in all the vertical industries, and the good thing about this industry is that just about every vertical industry is represented in machine to machine and the Internet of Things in terms of their roadmap, their product roadmap. Mm-hmm. So to say that, you know, we're really focused in on one specific vertical would not be entirely accurate. As I said, we're a design services firm. We're engineers. We have a wealth of experience in wireless technologies and RF. So that's really applicable to, you know, across the board, horizontally, in all the vertical industries. So
somebody might come to you with a device that perhaps they've had on the market for a while that is not wireless at the moment.
Oh, you bet.
And say, help us figure out how to do this. And
you
it's
bet.
Obviously it's not just a phone, but I mean, give us an example of a device.
An example of that would be let's take pill boxes, for example.
Oh,
right. I mean, I've got a Monday through Sunday pill box to take my vitamins in.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's pretty basic, but wirelessly and cellularly enable these pill boxes. That's something that we've done before. So in such an instance, you have reminders that are issued by the pill box to the patient, and if they're not taking their medication, it can actually launch a cellular voice call to caregivers or family members to notify them.
They're not taking their medicine.
Yeah, that
somebody needs to check on them.
Somebody needs to check on them, or it may have kind of the "I've fallen, can't get up" type of application where it launches a call to some type of emergency response center or something like that. But that's a product that is on the shelves today,
right?
And that is already out there. But the companies are looking at, okay, well, what's the next generation? How can we get more out of the machine to machine and the connectivity.
Sure. And so what you guys are suggesting is that it could really be just about anything. Anything that is a physical thing could become a connected device.
It would blow your mind. I mean, every day is an exciting day because you just never know what's going to come through your plate. Oh, you want to connect that? And it's like, wow, okay.
Really?
I didn't really think about that. How do you connect an e-cigarette? I don't know. Yeah. It literally could be anything.
I'm just waiting for the connected wedding ring. Okay, where is he?
Well, we're doing connected jewelry, too. I mean, these
are... Oh, really? Wow.
Absolutely. I mean, it's things that you wouldn't even think about. So that's really where connected development can add the most value, is take you from the concept to a finished product. And in today's ecosystem, there's a big need for that, to get out of that concept phase into a finished product.
So you're really enabling, your company specifically enables the person who has the thought to get to that. You're not necessarily the guy coming up with the next great idea, but you're the guy who says, you've got the next great idea, I can make it
you bet.
That happen for
and
you.
And we don't have to come up with the next great idea because they come in our door every day, like
every
I said.
Day.
I mean, we work with a whole network of partners in the industry, right? So we can, while our specific expertise and competence is around the engineering and wireless design piece and the certification piece, our network of partners can get you through the mechanical design, through the industrial design, the manufacturing, and really a kind of a soup to nuts turnkey type of project.
So you have actually done some work here with Wireless Research Center, your company.
Yeah, as I mentioned, we do have a nice tidy network of partnerships, not just here locally in the area, but especially locally in the area, and the Wireless Research Center is certainly one of them that we use quite frequently. We use them for testing facilities and lab space and that type of thing.
Great. Mm-hmm. What are the business drivers that people are what's making this all come together and happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. The business drivers are not always that obvious, although they do exist, and that's not to say there's not a business justification for all the innovation that's going on. But sometimes the business drivers can be operational efficiency, or it could be efficiency on maintenance and service, customer experience management, things like that are not always measured in dollars and cents, not your traditional fundamentals of revenue and profit margins. They could be a little bit less obvious, like customer retention, or as I say, it could be something that just improves the operation of the product. So, those are some of the business drivers that are really promoting the growth in this industry. And connected development can really help our clients get through that process of sorting out the business case. Well, how much is this going to cost, and how long does it take to get to market? And these types of things are generally underestimated.
So those are really the things that are keeping people from doing it right now, because they just don't know.
That's a good point. And when you start introducing RF and cellular technology into devices and into an electronic system, then the complexity is raised, and in addition to that, you're also going to you may test it end to end, and it may work fine and beautifully, but then you've got to get it through a certification, and so there's going to be some things that you did not plan for. That's basically where we're at.
Are you seeing any particular industries being a little hotter right now than others?
Yeah, I would say the health. There's a lot going on with healthcare. A lot going on with healthcare. Wireless glucometers, as I said, connecting pill boxes, home patient monitoring, We're also seeing a lot in like the fleet management, asset tracking, cargo tracking.
Yeah.
Whenever you're moving, I would say temperature sensitive or time sensitive, or things like medicine or food products.
All that real time monitoring is really important.
All that real time monitoring is very important, and not only are you able to track it from a physical location, but you're also able to monitor it for the quality assurance type of aspects of it, right? So now we're able to communicate to back end servers, clouds, whatever, and get that information and make sense of it and improve our business off of it.
A whole new level of efficiency that it rises to when you add that wireless connectivity to it.
Yeah, you bet.
Whole new level of data.
And new data,
Yeah, and getting that, and that's the thing. It's a whole new level of data, a whole new set of information, and, you know, kind of circling back to your question around business drivers, you know, what do we do with that data? How can we use that data? And sometimes that's not intuitive.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's kind of like, well, let's see what that data looks like. And you've got smart people to sort through that and say, okay, well, let's do it a different way. Or let's.
You know, that's a really good point. Actually, we've got an example of a customer that came to us that wanted to monitor a certain part of their business aspect. And we developed a process and showed them how it could be done. And it wound up being a little bit more expensive than what he thought. But then we said, well, listen, if you had this information about your product, and if you could sell this information to other customers that would be interested, couldn't you not only use the information for you and have a new business model where you're reselling that information? Mm-hmm. And we could just see during that 2-second pause where he was speechless and the dollar signs were lighting up, the value of that data. So now he's looking at spending more money on having a cloud service, on having web access to be able to charge people to access the data as well that he originally just thought he was going to use internally. So it's a great point that you bring up where people are finding ways to bring in new revenue streams and change their existing business model in order to, you know, keep up with the competition, outpace the competition, or just, you know, great ideas are one thing, but it's all about, you know, businesses and money and ways to bring more revenue or save money and keep money from leaking out of your business is why people are deploying these types of solutions.
And that's a great transition, Mark, because I want to come back and talk to Paul a little bit about the business.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been at Connected Development for a couple of years. What got you back there?
What got me back to Connected Development is and into this industry is the fact that I like to say there's a storm brewing. You know, while as a consumer you may not see that, you know, in your everyday life, but when you're on the business side of it and you're seeing what some of the innovative ideas and some of the entrepreneurs that are out there and what they're coming up with and what they're doing, it's really exciting. And I like to think there's just decades of work that lays ahead of us to really realize the full potential. And it may be longer, but it's such a growing industry and so exciting. And like I mentioned, you know, kind of hearing some of the ideas and some of the new use cases and new applications and starting to tie it all together and new business models, that's really, really what attracted me to Connected Development in this industry.
It is a very, very exciting industry. The whole wireless application is amazing. You mentioned, I think Ann was asking you a couple of questions, and you mentioned that, you know, entrepreneurs just kind of walk in with ideas and, you know, you help them make their ideas, you know, wireless.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, as in any business, that all the customers that you want don't just walk in the front door. So how do you go about growing the business? How do you go about getting customers these days?
Yeah. You know, we're really fortunate in this area that it is such a technology hotbed, and there's a lot of resources. There's a lot of folks that have very specific experience in wireless from the module side, from the device side, and through the years they've really developed this network of and partnerships within the ecosystem. So a lot of our customers come through lead sharing. And you know, we work with Verizon as part of their partner program and do lead sharing and collaboration. We bring them customers, they bring us customers. We all kind of really fill a niche in that ecosystem and rely on one another to get to the end product. You know, we're not out there knocking on doors. We haven't had to go and cold call, that type of thing. We are represented in the major industry, trade shows, and forums like these are very good in promoting what we do.
The network.
But it is. It is. At the end of the day.
The device is the network. Is that right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
So, Paul, just before we scoot over here and talk to Verizon a little bit further, tell us how, if somebody's right now is saying, you know, I do have this idea, but I don't know where to go, how do they reach you?
Yeah, they can reach me at paul.moore@connecteddev.com. There's two D's, ConnectedDev.
Okay.
They can also reach me through my LinkedIn profile.
Okay, good.
And Paul Moore, pretty wide open there. And there's also contact information on our webpage, which is www.connecteddev.com.
Okay, super deal. Now, let's talk a little bit further about this network. Let's talk about what Verizon's bringing to the table here, because what role do you guys play in the world of devices?
Well, if you talk about devices where we're talking about connected devices, like machine to machine, there's a couple of different arenas that we play. So first off, we're not going to resell these devices. There are a few exceptions, but for the most part, these are products that the company that brings this device to market is going to market the device, sell the device, support the device. So nine times out of 10, we're a business enabler. So a lot of what we do is, for instance, we might make the initial contact to that business. We might plant that seed of, wouldn't your device be better if you could generate additional revenue by having, you know, a connection to that device to be able to provide your customers with more information, or even your own internal business with more information about how that device is behaving in the field. So a lot of what we do is plant the seed. Once we've got that seed planted, again, we've got partners like Connected Development. When they say, that sounds great, what do we do? We can help them. Again, it's a financial consideration. So sometimes customers may want to take an existing modem and attach it to their device because it's got serial or USB or Ethernet or an easy way to connect to it. And so the cost per device may be higher, but you can get to market immediately because you just plug it in and start communicating. You don't have to go through a process of validation and testing.
So wait, are you telling me that you have a fun job? I'm beginning to think you have a fun job.
So every one of my peers and I agrees that we've got the best job at Verizon Wireless.
No, seriously, you go out there and you talk to just about anybody and say, hey, that could be connected.
Yeah, hey, this your product's really cool. My company's really cool. We can make your product better.
Yeah.
And, you know, then we talk about the ROI of why it's going to make them more money. And, you know, bells and whistles and blinky lights sell great to IT. But it's bean counters and financial people that actually sign the bottom line. So we've got to show them a good why.
Yeah.
Anything is possible by throwing money at it in technology.
Sure.
But there's got to be a good financial reason for a business to choose to go into one of these types of solutions. And again, we talk about revenue and image and customer service and all those reasons that your product is going to be better. So part of what Verizon does is we go out there and we try to get somebody to believe that their product would be better with that kind of connection in it, and then bring on the appropriate partner to help stick that connection in.
So Armin, tell us, give us an example of the kind of things that you're seeing these days.
So talk about a very wide scope as far as verticals that we go into, because if you look at these analyst reports, and if you look at Gartner, if you look at Yankee Group, you look at Verizon's view on it, you have different forecasts. Some range from 26 to 50 billion devices, connected devices, Internet of Things, whichever one you want to call it, by 2020. And then if you look at further scopes on these forecast models, some range into $7 trillion of service revenue tied to them. So when you talk about why is this important, why are there different players at the table looking at this? It's because it is a rapidly growing industry and sector. So I could give you some examples of what people are doing. We talked about healthcare earlier and why healthcare is important. Absolutely, because now with healthcare, I can make strong business decisions even regarding my employees and how my employees act and behave to drive down my internal insurance rates. So not even talking about the end customer. I'm talking about, you know, maybe it's a connected device around a wrist that measures how often you walked or so your movements
for the day.
Your basic
Fitbit kind of thing tied into a more corporate solution as opposed to a personal
solution.
So
I could take that and share some information with my insurance provider and maybe negotiate some different rates. Then I look at one of the largest sectors of this growth. It goes into smart city, smart energy. We've talked about this for years, and this hasn't been something new necessarily, but how that data is being transmitted, collected, and most importantly, through a secure path. Because you don't want to leave any exposure on that side of the table in lieu of increased revenues. So the business drivers, and these guys have hit on it a couple of times, can vary vertical to vertical, but at the end of the day, it boils down to, can I increase my revenues? Can I provide a better customer experience? You talk about the demographics of the marketplace changing, the millennial growth and what they expect out of the products that they buy, the services that they receive. And then finally, does it make how I'm doing currently a more streamlined, better operation?
How do you think all of this change is going to affect the marketplace in general?
I think to a great extent, we're an MTV generation. We have short attention spans. And I think the market is going to continue to cotton to and cater to that expectation of instant gratification and instant feedback. As soon as I got off my scale this morning, I could pull up my smartphone and see a graph of how I'm doing. I didn't have to wait. I didn't have to plot it. And I have to do it myself. I had a cloud service that took care of all that for me. So I spent a lot more money on that scale to have that kind of convenience. So I think that businesses are going to continue to look for ways to make consumers want their product more. And adding additional features to the hardware doesn't necessarily add anything compelling. But adding the additional features, like we say, to that back-end cloud service, bringing me more information, better, stronger, faster, cheaper, those are the kinds of ways that it's going to influence the marketplace.
And, you know, and there's also the aspect of business model development, and that it's going to affect the marketplace and in the form of new business models, new ways to generate revenue, new use cases. You know, what are we going to be willing to pay for in this new connected world? And I think that's something that you know, we'll see in the future too, how it's going to affect the marketplace.
Yeah.
So a lot of this marketplace is happening in the right now, and it's not waiting for the marketplace to change. One of the best indicators of that is looking at what are the entrepreneurs in the marketplace working on.
Yeah.
So if I go and we talk to our friends down at HQ Raleigh, or talk to the tech incubator over at State, or the various Internet of Thing meetups in the Raleigh area, these are the things that people are working on because they are seeing what the demand in the marketplace is. So as we partner, and this term's been brought up a couple times on past topics, but this matchmaker, you know, that's really Verizon's role in some of this, is being the matchmaker between an idea that we rather see in a Fortune 500 company or a idea that we see at a Internet of Things meetup, and pulling in the right players. And those right players is not just one person at the table. It's usually a handful of people. I mean, it's leveraging our friends at the Wireless Research Center and using their expertise, and also going to a connected development and then pulling in someone that has a billing infrastructure that can help them. And maybe at the end, they're all at our innovation center and looking at different manufacturers for chargers or batteries. So
we need to pull more people together around the table to have these discussions.
But these discussions are happening. That's the exciting part, is through different levels of business conversations, they're happening, sometimes in a formal setting and sometimes they're informal.
Well, and I think business responsibility and expectations are changing because of that, because of the data that comes from the more devices that are connected, the more data is generated, and the more we're held, sort of feet held to the fire for data.
Well, that's a good point. There's accountability, particularly if that data is related to your money, credit cards, or your healthcare with PCI. So there's increased accountability there for the customers that are handling that data, as well as the companies that are taking care of collecting, gathering, and storing that data. So, for instance, one of the things Verizon Wireless has done to participate in the full spectrum of that infrastructure is we purchased a cloud service provider. So mm-hmm. Verizon has the ability to not only activate your devices and transport the data, but store your data securely on that cloud service as well. So again, that's the way when a business comes and says, how do we do it? We can kind of give them the end-to-end. So we've got these modules, you can stick in your thing. We've got these partners that can help make sure your thing passes the tests.
It's the thing.
The thing. It's the Internet of Things. That's whatever right. your thing is. Thing. We've got this module, we'll stick in your thing. We've got partners that will help get it approved. Intellectual property, being able to go through and make sure that legally you're protected, that you've got your intellectual property. I think that you guys have partners out here that can help with all of those aspects of a business. Mm-hmm. And then again, at the end, where are you going to put your data? How are you going to get it to your customers? We've got partners that can help with all of the parts of that solution. So that's getting into that application server side with the cloud storage and that kind of stuff.
So let's talk for a minute about the aging part of the population,
okay.
of the market, okay? So I get everything you're saying as it relates to the folks that are less than 20 years old and probably less than 30 years old mm-hmm. and most of the folks that are less than 40 years old. Okay, but 10 years ago, the aging population didn't even want to have to deal with a computer.
Right.
Okay, and you probably know better than I what the statistics are that how many senior citizens had cell phones 10 years ago. I think they all have cell phones, or most of them have cell phones now. So how is wireless working with that segment of the population?
So that's a great point. That goes back to healthcare. Part of it is legislative. So of course, healthcare is very motivated to keep people out of their facility. And if you come in, they don't want you back. Mm-hmm. As of this year, if I'm not mistaken, there's financial incentive to keeping you from coming back.
Right.
So that's one aspect, is that as our population ages, in order to keep them in their homes instead of in a facility, in order to give them the independence and the mobility that they've been used to having, technology solutions can help elderly people, whether they interact with them on a day-to-day
solution
or not.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, it's about transparency. It can't get in the way of their activities.
It may, but for instance, like that pill bottle, your mm-hmm. example that you started out with. If right. I'm not taking my pills, somebody's going to know about it, and that means I don't have to have someone show up in my house, that I don't have to have a nurse that comes to check on me. It gives me that much more independence. So that's one of the ways that this technology, these wireless connections, can help improve anyone's life, whether it's a visible part of your life, something you touch and feel and work with day to day, or if it's just a background connection that makes things happen, helps alert people, helps, take actions. If someone doesn't use a pill, then let somebody responsible know about it.
And to me, that's where the big difference is. When to get somebody to use a computer, they actually had to sit down at the keyboard and they had to type. And they had to get online and all that sort of stuff.
They had to want it.
And they had to want to do that. What it sounds like to me that wireless is doing is it's doing all these things, we used to say automatically. I guess that's an old word now.
Unobtrusively, yeah.
Yeah, unobtrusively. And so they get the benefit of all this technology without actually having to do much.
Well, let me give you another example that kind of hits the aging population of something that Connected Development has worked on, which is a message cube. So you can send your mom, dad, grandparents a text message or a picture message from your smart device to basically a box that'll print it out for them.
Oh, cool.
So they don't need, they're probably not going to have a smartphone. They're probably
right.
not
right.
going to have an iPhone.
Right.
Or whatever.
Still too complicated
right.
for them.
Still too complicated, of course. If they use the phone at all, they're going to use it for voice. And so but their grandchildren, as we've stated, are digital natives, and that's the world that they live in. So that's kind of how we're bridging the two worlds. You have to design products
that
will
be
adaptive
example.
For their lifestyle.
Right.
That's a great example. What are you seeing coming out of the Wireless Research Center?
We see a pretty broad gamut of things. It's all about, improving the quality of life, quality of service. We see a lot of more People come in with just an idea, and being a neutral environment for that, we help them scope out the types of products that they're thinking, or their applications in their market. And then the nice thing is, this is a very fertile area for that talent. I mean, every aspect of wireless in this region can be covered, you know, from the device up through the network. It's almost easy and straightforward for anyone that wants to create that connectivity. So it's,
yeah.
Yeah, here in Wake County and the RTP area in particular, we've really got it lucky. We've got a really strong infrastructure of companies who are participating in this entire ecosystem. Like I say, from a devices perspective, from a development and an approvals perspective. So we really kind of have it lucky right here in Central North Carolina.
And a really tight shot group of universities and research centers as well.
Great point. Right.
Coming back to that device portion of it, about the elderly population, and it really segments into two groups. There's one group that it comes to, which could be a consumer good, and that device is something that you want to interact with. So you look at you mentioned computers and laptops, that segment growing in there, but really the growth in that segment has been with tablets because they're easier to use and people want to use them. Mm-hmm. So in the consumer space, it's all going to be about making something easier to interact with, rather that be your home alarm system, rather that be an emergency alert, rather it be something that while you travel, that traveling population that wants to go from one town to another town but still have internet to that access to the internet wherever they go. So absolutely, that's the consumer side. And what Mark was bringing up more is maybe it's the service provider that's doing business with you easier because now they're providing access. Maybe it's a module that sits on your water heater or your HVAC unit or your refrigerator and has built in a maintenance plan that they're coming out to see you every 6 months without you taking that initiative to make sure that your HVAC unit is working and acting properly so you can go travel more. So
we like that.
Yes, I like that. I like that a lot.
So it's really the two different segments of the device. Is it a consumer good or is it a business good?
What's kind of one of the coolest things that you're seeing that we wouldn't even be thinking about? I mean, we've talked about healthcare. We've talked about, you just mentioned retail, you know, so we know that, you know, there's stuff out there where you drive by the store and you get a text message that says, oh, by the way, didn't you mean to go in and buy milk, you know, whatever. Okay, so we know that. We know about entertainment.
We know about garbage cans that say, I'm full, pick me up.
Yeah, you know, but what's like one of the really off-the-wall things that...
How about knowing the health of your livestock? How about having an RFID tag on an animal?
Huh.
And that tag might just be a serial number, or it might be a smart tag that knows that animal's core temperature. Hmm. So if that animal doesn't show up at a feeder, which is where the RFID reader is, within a day, somebody probably ought to go find it and get out of the herd before the rest of the herd gets sick.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's a pretty out of the box example of the kinds of solutions that are out there.
That's pretty cool.
All right? That is pretty cool.
That's pretty
cool. Yeah.
What's happening in vehicles? We hear a lot about smart vehicles. I mean, where are we really in terms of how smart are the vehicles now, or how smart are they going to be?
So really the vehicle segment breaks up into a couple of fields as well. One is that going back to a consumer need. Do I want internet access in my vehicle? So empowering the vehicle to be an internet hotspot is one segment of it. Getting real-life vehicle diagnostics so you can better plan your service intervals, or even better, receiving a email or a text message from your car saying, hey, it's time to take me into the shop because I'm due for a oil change. The really interesting part that we see from the asset management or the vehicle management comes into fleets and maybe critical information to get out of that fleet. And there's some CSA compliance laws, and without getting too far into it, just some electronic driver logs are coming down the pipe, and it'll be interesting how all of that irons out. But when we talk about safety and security on the road and what's available to us, it comes down to how long has a vehicle been on the road? How is that vehicle operating when it's on the road? We talked about a refrigerated truck earlier. If I'm taking from Wilmington some seafood to Raleigh and I have a refrigerator unit on that vehicle, I want some real life visibility into that unit to see if it's operating at the right temperature, because I don't want to get to Raleigh, open the door, and have spoiled goods that could be $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. So again, some really innovative stuff, not only around the consumer space, but some of the visibility you can get from it.
And it gets interesting also when you're starting to mash up these applications with the onboard systems, the GPS navigation systems that are already, you know, on board on the vehicles, and being able to, take that application and cobble together another application and make a new application, right? So and connecting it back to, over the cellular network to a cloud system or to, you know, friends, relatives, it's just really wide open.
And if you really wanted to get future looking, obviously we've talked a lot about, and it's in the news about autonomous vehicles and autonomous driving, that is absolutely going to require connectivity. You're going to have one vehicle that knows whether another vehicle is going to merge, wants to pull in, what everybody's got to agree what the speed limit end is. You'll have the ability, for instance, for vehicles to monitor traffic lights and be much better synchronized, because all of that kind of information is going to be out there and available. So, there's the consumer, I want my Pandora in my car parts. And then there's also, I want my car to get me there so I can be goofing off on my laptop the entire time.
So I want
the stoplight that monitors the cars.
I still want my jetpack.
So that when I pull up to it, it turns green so I can get through it at 2 o'clock in the morning when there's nobody else on the road.
But again, if your car knew when the light was going to turn, it might speed up to 37 to hit the light, or slow down to 26 to make sure you don't feel like you're waiting. Yeah. All of that's possible. The data's there.
Yeah. Cal, if you look at it, you mentioned cars, but if we take it a step further and look even at the bicycle industry, having a connected bicycle, maybe from a bicycle share program that you can locate how long it's been out in the field or where it was dropped off, at which one of the drop-off locations, so it could go be collected. But also from a performance bicycle, can I measure any vitals or can I measure any statistics off of that bicycle in order to make better decisions on how I'm training or how I'm performing in that race? So it's beyond just vehicles. You look at boat manufacturers trying to add a module into the engine console of a boat to get, again, better diagnostics from it so I can maybe sell a service plan. Or as a consumer, there's nothing worse than taking your boat out on a Saturday and then once you get to the ramp, it's not firing up. So if I can have that analytics ahead of time, maybe I can get my service in before I get to the ramp on Saturday.
I love it.
And really a big part of it is who wants the data and why. So sometimes it's the manufacturer who's going to build something into that device. For some industries, I mean, we've got buy here, pay here car resellers. Those folks do not make money selling cars. They make money selling the same car over and over
That's
again.
Right.
And so if I could, for $100, stick in a module that would make it not start if you didn't pay, that would help me find it if I need to relocate it, then that's a value to me as the person that sold you the car. Right. So, you know, it depends. You know, we're going to put some kind of device out there, and what the device is and what its function is depends on who cares about the data. If I'm the buy here, pay here guy, it's going to do what I want it to do.
Right.
Can we talk for just a minute about protecting all this data?
Sure.
You know, it's great to have it all. There's lots of people who want it. What's the sort of the state of the art in terms of how do we get the balance between everybody knowing everything about what I had for breakfast versus, you know, me saying, no, I don't want everybody to know what I had for breakfast?
Sure. So Verizon Wireless only plays a part of that role. So really, we transport the data. We can provide solutions that can help transport that data without putting it on the internet. Usually what we're concerned about is I'm afraid someone on the internet is going to see my data. Mm-hmm. So there are ways that we can move data without the data actually being on the internet. There are ways that we can coach customers to be able to encrypt data as well. But all of that's in the transport. So device, you know, when we're talking about security, there's security at rest and security in motion. Verizon Wireless can help to a great extent with security in motion. Then there's also things like that cloud service needs to be secure so that somebody doesn't have a back end into that server. There's a lot of other ways that we can bring in partners to help coach our customers how to build an end-to-end secure solution. So Verizon Wireless in particular, when transporting the data, encryption, isolation, those are some of the solutions we can provide to help keep that data secure.
And are you seeing folks come in with devices that they want help, you know, installing wireless, but also saying to you, you know, is that part of what you do is say, okay, we can make it wireless, but let's also build in some security to it?
Yeah, you know, a large part of our job and our role in this value chain is consulting with our clients on every aspect of the connectivity. You know, we try not to get, you know, be too confrontational on their business model or their business case or their business in general. Right. Everybody has an opinion. Sometimes it's just better just to keep it to yourself. But certainly, if there are some concerns, especially if there's some security concerns, things of that nature, then we will certainly advise.
You can
on
do
that.
It.
We can advise on that.
Great. Well, I am really starting to see the need to have a discussion about the network. So it's a good thing that the network comes next in the DNA discussion.
Absolutely.
This has been a really fun discussion, you guys. I really appreciate everybody being here. I want to thank Paul Moore from Connected Development. Thank you, Paul.
Well, thank you.
Mark Scherlein from Verizon Wireless.
Thanks very much.
And Arman Sadi. I'm sorry, Arman.
Hey, thank you.
I can get to it. And Jerry, of course, thanks from the Wireless Research Center.
Thank you, Ann. Thanks.
And Cal Hackman and Reed Powell here from Business Radio X.
Thanks, Ann.
It's that delayed shared microphone thing. And this is Ann Ravel Petcher again from Wireless Connection signing off until next week.